Isn't it wonderful to get together and to praise our great God? Appreciate that so much. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26. I'd appreciate your prayers for my wife. She seems to be fighting something bug-wise, cold-wise. I'm not sure what the accurate description is, but has been taking medicine for about 3 days and just had a really bad night. It's going to try and make it this evening, but I know she would appreciate your prayers. So if I'm not at full strength today, that's because my better half is not here. looking forward to delving into the Word of God this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'd like for us to begin reading in verse 16. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, He is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful songs of praise that we can sing to you. God, it is a precious joy to be here with so many others who are desirous of learning about God and being strengthened in their walk. And Lord, our desire this morning is not to hear man's words, but to truly hear the message from the Lord. God, we thank you for your holy word, the 66 books, Lord, which show to us exactly how every man, woman, boy, and girl can be made strong in the Lord. I pray today, God, that you would truly speak to us through your word, and that we would be strong followers of Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Uzziah, the strength of the fool. You know, this morning we're examining the life of a great king, but unfortunately he was a great king until the end of his life. You see, Uzziah had an illustrious reign until he forgot how he got where he was. So we think of Uzziah, you know, if we were to talk about it this morning, and those of us who know our Bibles, who have a familiarity with the stories contained therein, unfortunately, I believe that most of us, if we have any familiarity with the name Uzziah, would not recall his beginning of his reign, nor the middle of his reign. But I think the one thing that would stand out in all of our mind's eyes was the way in which his reign ended, and how sad that was. You see, Uzziah was one that had the hand of God upon him, truthfully, from the very beginning of his reign. He was made king at the age of 16, as the Bible indicates for us in verse 3. He reigned for 52 years, which was longer than David and longer than Solomon. He was successful on the battlefield. Look back with me, if you would, in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 26, where the Bible says he went forth and warred against the Philistines. Ring any bells? Remember David and Goliath and the Philistines? And break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. He was successful against the Philistines, of whom it was not spoken since the days of David. Notice also in verse 17 that God helped him in that success on the battlefield, where it says God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. How wonderful it is that you and I today can also have the power of God and the strength of the Lord as you and I go out on the battlefield. How wonderful it is to know that in contrast to the way it was in Uzziah's days, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior today have the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and truly God goes with us at all times. But it's up to us to allow God to guide and direct in all that we say and do, to make certain that He is the one who goes before us, to make certain that you and I are doing our part to follow Him and not in vain trying to get God to follow us. This man was tremendously blessed of the Lord. We realize that it was not only blessings on the battlefield, but blessings in the things that he built. Do you realize there in the last half of verse 6 where it says that he built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines, that he built cities in the presence of his enemies? Verse 9 points out that he fortified the city of Jerusalem, where it says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. But that was not the end of his construction, of his building projects. Verse 10 says he also built towers in the desert and dig many wells. Do you know what's wonderful about this man when we think of the good king that Uzziah was, and we think of his accomplishments on the battlefield, we think of his accomplishments in building, but he was also successful with people. He was blessed in the way in which he was able to lead people, which is why as we continue down, we realize that he had 2,600 military leaders, and they were over 307,500 able-bodied soldiers. Regarding the way in which he was able to lead those soldiers in all of the battles in which they found themselves going against the enemies, really, of God and of God's people, we see that he was able to equip them well. Verse 14 lets us know that he gave them the tools for combat: the shield, spears, helmets, habergeons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. Then verse 15 is one that creates a little bit of debate among theologians, and I certainly don't consider myself some type of authority here, but it would seem to indicate what we find in verse 15, that really he was also responsible for creating or inventing, or whatever word you want to use, catapults. Now, historians would try and tell us the catapults were not invented until some 300 years later. But as I read my Bible here, it says that he made in Jerusalem engines, and that's just talking about motors, machines rather, invented by cunning men, that's skillful men, not conniving in the current sense, but skillful men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad. I mean, this man was a man that was successful in every way in which a king could remotely desire. Thinking again of the length of his reign, of some 52 years, and of course, when we think about his father and unfortunately some of the military mishaps that he had towards the end of his reign, we realize that he was killed because of a revolt from his own people. They came and took his life. And so that's why, having been with his father at the age of 16, he was immediately ushered into the position of king. All of the authority of a 16-year-old. How many of you guys are 16? Raise your hand. Who's here 16? Can you imagine being the president of the United States today? Huh? Not a bad job. Now, there's a lot of headaches that come along with that, I think. But here he was. Certainly not a country of the size of the U.S., but nevertheless, the king of Judah. And just the soldiers alone were over 300,000. And all of them were desirous of doing whatever the king said. of following his orders, of carrying out his commands, and of seeking to conquer all of the people that were in their path. It's also interesting to realize that he enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. If you go back to verse 5, where the Bible says he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, sometimes when we talk about prosperity, we tend to think that it's evil or that there's something wrong with it. And there's been an undue emphasis, and there's really been, I believe, a perversion of the biblical sense of prosperity today, and trying to preach to people that God wants you to be rich, and if you're not rich, there's something wrong with you. That's not at all what the scriptures indicate, but at the same time, it's important that we realize that if you are prosperous, if you do have prosperity, it can, not always, but it can many times come from God when you're seeking to walk with the Lord, as was Uzziah. And so all the blessings that he enjoyed were not something that was passed down to him. It was not something that he had merely inherited. It was not something that was due to something that was given to him, but it was due to the hand of God upon him. And what I desire for my life, and I trust you desire for your life, is that the hand of God would cause everything that I do to prosper. It's also interesting as we continue on down that we see that this was not the only time this is mentioned. For in verse 8 we see as well, the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now at this point in time, he is not yet fallen, so there is nothing to indicate in the scriptures that this was an ungodly excess, that this was somehow something that was untoward, that was not what God desired. There's nothing to indicate that in the scriptures at this point in time. We continue down to verse 15. We already read the first part, but let's look at the last part. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Wow. Wouldn't it be wonderful to think of God prospering you and God doing it in a marvelous fashion? I mean, God truly pouring out his blessings upon you in all of your battles, in all of your buildings, in all of your work with other people, and really seeking to do a great work in and through you. You see, when we talk about Uzziah, we are correct in saying he was a strong king. We are very correct in saying that the strength that he enjoyed, the strength that he relished, was given to him by God. But there was a little problem. And that problem was, he forgot the source for all of his blessings. You see, if you were to read all of the verses that relate to the story of Uzziah, as accounted for us not only here in 2 Chronicles, but also in 2 Kings chapter 15, you would find that there is not one word of gratitude mentioned on behalf of this great king toward God. And I want to ask you this morning, when we enjoy prosperity in our lives, do we recognize that as a gift from God? Because if we don't, it is easy to begin to look lightly upon the principles in God's word. If you consider yourself a self-made successful individual, if you look at what you have accomplished in your life and you say, hey, I have gotten here by my own hard work. Hey, listen, I got here because of who I am. Even when we talk about material blessings, it's important that we not be ignorant of what God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Apostle Paul rephrases the same thought when he tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." See, what we have to readily acknowledge is that everything that we have, that we enjoy, is ultimately because of the sovereign blessing of the Lord upon our lives. But you know what happened here was because of the prosperity that he had, he began to think that the principles that God had laid out regarding the way in which he was to be worshipped were not that important. That he as king could do things in his own way. And it is thought with strong probability that living where he was and seeing the kings of the east that were around him and realizing the way in which they exercised political duties and religious duties, he thought he could be just like the heathen. But you see, our God is different. Our God, as the one true God, has a higher standard for each of us. And when we talk about obeying the Lord, it's important that none of us consider ourselves better than any of the principles that are clearly laid out in God's Word. Now, we don't worship God in the same way in which they did in Uzziah's days. There are no censers full of incense that have been brought here into the auditorium this morning. There was no altar on which animals were being sacrificed that you had to come past in order to come into the sanctuary. We can all thank God for what Jesus Christ accomplished when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that the veil was rent in two, the Bible says, and that now you and I have free access to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, to the presence of God Almighty. And that we can go boldly before the throne of God because of the grace that has been extended to us. And that is to those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you see, when pride creeps into our hearts, we can come to the point where we can even justify disobedience. I want to remind us of something as well, a danger of prosperity. Is that the accumulation of goods is not to be necessarily equated with the acquisition of godliness. Because you have been blessed by the Lord in a material fashion, because you have been prosperous, because you may have more than your neighbors, you may have more than many, even in this country, have today. Let's just keep in mind that the child of God is what he is by the grace of God. But then we see his disregard for the principles of the Word of God. And you know what's interesting is that what he was doing here, what he was attempting to do, was a religious activity. You know, it was not something that he was trying to go out and commit what we would think of as some type of immoral sin. It wasn't that he was going out and was trying to commit some atrocity. But what happened was he showed disregard for the standards of holiness that God had clearly laid out in the law. And he began to think that it didn't matter what God had said, that he could do things his own way. And thankfully, there was the priest Azariah and 80 others who immediately came to him and said, "Stop, King Uzziah, stop! Please, do not go any farther." But yet he insisted. We see there, we think of the way in which he disregarded those to whom he was to be held accountable. And how easy it is for us to think about others who are seeking to guide us in our lives. And yet we can refuse to listen when it comes to seeking to do what God wants because our mind is made up. But you see here the pride that crept into his life. He wrongly thought that God's standards could be bent to accommodate his personal gain. You see, he disregarded the priest to whom God had assigned the responsibility for the offerings. Thought that it didn't matter. I'm the king after all. No one in this land has a higher authority than I do, so he thought. But yet that was not what God intended. And he went and sought to offer to God what was to be done exclusively by the priests. But I want to remind us, when we talk about pride, that pride is not limited to material or personal gains. But we can also have a sinful arrogance concerning spiritual accomplishments in our lives. You know, you may have been blessed of God, perhaps being raised in a Christian home. I thank God for that privilege. But that does not for one moment mean that because you have been raised in a Christian home that you are somehow better than someone else who was not raised in a Christian home. I pray that God will continue to multiply the Christian homes that we have here at Fairfax Baptist Temple and to give us many more children who can be reared in homes where they learn to fear God from an early age. But again, that can only be attributed to the blessings of God. It has nothing to do with you or me in and of ourselves. Now, you may look at a spiritual struggle that someone else is going through and you may think, oh, how petty. The Bible reminds us that he who standeth better take heed lest he fall. You know, when we think of the pride that crept into Uzziah's life, I want to remind us of the effect of pride. Because sometimes I think we act as though it's really not that big of a deal, that it doesn't have that much of an impact. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. You see, up to this point in time, there's no sinful act that is directly attributed to or connected to King Uzziah in the scriptures, aside from his lack of gratitude and his lack of thankfulness. Mark chapter 7, we see Jesus Christ talking, and in verse 20 he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that," take note of that next word, "defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy," notice that next word, "pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within," and what do they do to the man? Defile him. Do you see what God was teaching us through the life of Uzziah? On the outside, everything seemed okay. I mean, who is somehow going to cast a stone at someone who's trying to go and offer up incense to God? But what he didn't realize is the heart that that was stemming from, which showed disregard for the clearly laid out instructions of the Word of God and the pride that was reflected in that activity. Now I ask you, why do you sing if you sing at the church? Why do you usher? Why do you help in security? Why do you work in the nursery? Well, you do that so I don't have to change those nasty diapers. I'm very glad you do that. Why do you teach? Why do you do anything within the church? Is it simply to go through the motions? Is it so that you might receive the praise of man, or is it so that you can please God? You see, if Uzziah had truly been desirous of pleasing God, and somehow had gotten tripped up in his thinking process and attempted to go in, then the man with the sensitive heart towards God, when he saw Azariah come at him, when he saw 80 men of the priests come towards him and try to stop him, the man with the sensitive heart toward God would have stopped dead in his tracks. But he didn't. He persisted. You know, sometimes we may think of scenarios in our own lives where our quote-unquote spiritual service can be done for the wrong motive, and that pride from within can truly defile what we are supposedly doing without. Think of pride not only can defile us, but pride can destroy us. Look at that familiar verse there in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. You see, Uzziah was going through, on the outside, everything just right. He's taking care of God's people, was a successful leader, created all of these interesting inventions, battle elements. But he forgot about the pride issue. And in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, we see not only will pride defile you, but pride will destroy you. The Bible says pride goeth before what? Destruction. And an haughty spirit before a fall. You know what is so sad as we think about Uzziah? We realize there that God had used him tremendously. God had blessed him tremendously. God had placed him in the unique position of authority over the children of Judah at this point in time. But now, to conclude, if you turn with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was strong. The first 15 verses tell us step by step everything that he accomplished in his life, everything that he did in his kingdom. Marvelously helped, prospered by God. He was strong. But in verse 16, the Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." It was interesting, a young woman had asked for an appointment with her pastor to talk with him about the besetting sin that she was so worried over. When she saw him, she said, "Pastor, I've become aware of a sin in my life which I cannot control. Every time I'm at church, I begin to look around at the other women and I realize that I am the prettiest one in the whole congregation. None of the others can compare with my beauty. What can I do about this sin?" To which the pastor replied, "Mary, that's not a sin. Why, that's just a mistake." You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we really think we are something. We've really made it. Look around. Look at my life. Look at everything that's happened. But that is the moment you begin to have pride in your heart that will set you on a path to defilement and truly destroy your testimony. Now, as we talk about this strength here, we think of all that Uzziah did. Again, the long reign that God had given to him. What a blessing that was. But you know, when you talk about pride, as one preacher said, it is the dandelion of the soul. Its root goes deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness. I hope you can look back to January of this year and say, yes, Pastor, I have been made stronger. Yes, my walk with God is stronger today than it was at the beginning of this year. Our home, our marriage is stronger today than it was when we started this year. But I want to remind all of us, as we are being made strong, it is not you that is making yourself strong. It is being strong in the Lord. It is not you that is the cause for having a strong marriage. It is the hand of God upon your marriage. It is not you that is causing you to have children that are seeking to turn out right and to honor and praise and live for God. It is God working through you and through your children's lives. And it is not you that is somehow attained unto a level of success in your company or in your position or in your career. It is God's hand of blessing upon you. And with that attitude, then we realize, God, as Job said, if you take it away tomorrow, I will still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, economically, we've gone through some troublesome times these past few years. Things are not as rosy as they were just a few years ago. But do you realize that when it comes to the power of our God and the principles of His Word, that they are just as rich today as they were before this economic downturn ever started? Which is why, for the one who is seeking to be made strong in the Lord, even in disappointing economic times, he can still go forward and live for God, because his strength does not come from finances or the economy. His strength comes from his heavenly Father and the excellent truths that we can find laid out for us in God's holy word. The story is told that back in the Civil War, during the Battle of the Wilderness, there was a Union general by the name of John Sedgwick who was inspecting his troops. At one point, he came to a parapet over which he gazed out in the direction of the enemy. And his officers suggested that that was very unwise, and perhaps he ought to duck. Nonsense, he snapped back. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. And a moment later, he fell to the ground, fatally wounded. You see, you may look back and you may say, look at all these things God has done. Look at what I've learned this year. Look at where God has brought me this year. But the key is to continue forward, acknowledging that it is all attributed to the grace of God. You see, Uzziah was struck with leprosy, which was the worst form of disease that is described for us in the scriptures in the Old Testament, where your flesh would slowly rot away. Immediately, obviously, he ran from the temple. Some think, perhaps due to his love of cattle and the land, that he spent the remaining years of his life tending to that. But one thing is for certain, he didn't end like a wise man. You see, the strength of a fool. Here he was, had everything going for him. Strong, powerful king. But he didn't end with that strength. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 14 and in verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Today, Christian, examine your heart. Is God blessing you? And again, when we think of blessings, it's not related exclusively to material blessings. But God should be blessing you. And if He's not, then it ought to be an indication something's not right between you and God. And if God is blessing you and you can quickly think of ways in which you are enjoying God's blessings, then I want to remind you of just that, that they are God's blessings on your life. So that if tomorrow you lose your job, or you get an unexpected report from a doctor, or you go home and you log on and realize your accounts have been decimated, remember, how did you get where you are? If you're a child of God, it was strictly the blessing of the Lord. And just because your career takes an unexpected change, your family has a bump or a jolt you weren't expecting, does not for one moment mean that God has forgotten about you. God wants each of us, as the choir sang so beautifully this morning, I was glad that I learned to trust in the Lord. Do you trust Him? You see, for those who do trust Him, then even in the down times, they can still press on because they're not going in their own strength, they're going in the strength of the Lord. Just as much as those who are in the top of the mountain can equally use their resources and their energies and their strength to further the cause of Christ, because they too go forth in the strength of the Lord. So today, I challenge you, don't be a Uzziah. Don't allow the blessings of God to cause you to be detracted and derailed from doing the will of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven this morning, I thank you for the lessons learned from King Uzziah. God, I thank you that you warn us in your word about pride. Lord, how it can defile us, how it can destroy us, destroy our testimony. Lord, I also realize there are some here this morning that what is hindering or stopping them from receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is that very same thing, pride. They have a hard time admitting that they need a Savior. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today, that they would realize that there's not one single person in this room who can stand up and say, he is what he is by his own strength. But Lord, we humbly acknowledge that everything we have is from you. And Father, I pray today for the one who may be being made strong, who may be growing, Lord, that they will be loud and bold in their testimony that everything is the blessing from the Lord. God, help those who perhaps have been more prospered or blessed by you to always have their eyes open as to how they can use those resources for your honor and glory. Lord, help all of us to make certain that we haven't allowed pride to put a root into our heart, to cause us to miss out on the blessings and the joy of the Lord.